from the Strike and Spare Family Fun Center Studio. It's a Bill King Show.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get it, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a Wolverine purr.
I'd be sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day for the United States of America.
It's a Bill King Show. Call or text now. We'd love to hear your thoughts. Call us or send us a text on the WNSR text line. 615-844-5600. 615-844-5600. Call or text. Same number.
Red 7.
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rock.
That's what we call a sack lunch.
I do have a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
As we embark on the Tuesday program, Kozol Bruckle in about 15 minutes. Buck with us every Tuesday over in Charlotte, unless he's traveling. But Buck always with us. Top of hour to Griff. Griff's been on that Dog Nation cruise with Georgia fans. They do every year. He's back. Griff with us top of hour two, and Gator Dave in the second hour. 615. 844-5600. That is the call text option line. I accentuate, I promote the texting angle on that. 615-844-5600. On Twitter, at Bill is King. And you can email the show anytime. Bill is King 7. That's the number 7. At gmail.com. Busy week. We do the show from the Wilco kiosk location. For people relatively new, Wilco would be Williamson County, which would be the south side of Middle Tennessee. South side 615. Wilco, if you want to shorten it, which we do. The Wilco kiosk location, which I have done it since about... Let me think this out. About 2015, we've had the Wilco kiosk location well before 2020. That wasn't even an item. That was not a reason. It was just a decision. Once we went back to the terrestrial world and out of satellite radio, that's when the Wilco kiosk was hatched in the embryonic stages. We do the show from the Wilco kiosk this week through Thursday. Then we head down to the Emerald Coast for spring commitments. Friday morning from the Four Point Sheridan, we do the show. And other than that, it's just going to be a fun time down there. They've got the golf tournament, the golf outing on Saturday, dinner at AJ's on the harbor, which is Friday night, right, guys? And just lots of fun. There's a nice pool there. Beach is very convenient. It's right there. It's on the beach. And it's close to pretty much anything you'd want. It's a fun time. Spring commitments. If you have the time and the space, come on. We'd all love to see you down there. Any questions? That would be Georgia Dog or Tom and Myrtle Beach. As far as specifics, things of that nature, they would have all that information for you. But we're heading down there in a couple of days. Story out, not new news, but somewhat of an update, kinda, if that makes any sense. The SEC and the Big Ten are collaborating, again, not new news, But one of the discussions they're having is the futuristic revenue model as it pertains to the players. Like I have told you for quite some time here on the show, the players are going to be paid by the universities. It's not necessarily wink, wink happening that way right now, but it's going to be. I'd say by the time we get to 25, but easily by the time we get to 26, the players are going to be paid directly. What that means for the collectives, I don't know. I don't think it means they all go away because that's a good revenue stream. But the holy grail, what the players and what their legal representation, what they're going after is the TV revenue, which is in the billions, and they're going to get a cut of it. I've told you this for quite some time, and we're inching closer and closer. There's litigation going on that's incredibly explosive, and this is one of the catalysts forcing the powers, which would be the SEC and the Big Ten, to get together and discuss this out. Now, there are no specifics. I don't know of anybody, and I've asked various execs in college, what are the percentages we're talking about? And I have gotten no answers. I don't say that from a critical point of view or a negative point of view. I'm just telling you, I don't know what percentages we're talking about. I don't know how that's going to be laid out. That is certainly being discussed. And the SEC and the B1G are collaborating about many things, but that is a big one. The future revenue stream as it pertains to the players. The future revenue drip as it pertains to the players. And there will be a chunk, I don't know how big, of the TV revenue. For example, in the future, well, and basically we're living the future, but the SEC and the Big Ten is going to be getting, once we get the new playoff contract in place, close to anywhere between $80 and $100 million a school per year by virtue of your media relationships, your league media relationship, and also your playoff percentages, which for the Big Ten and the SEC are more than any other league in the New Deal. Yeah, in the New Deal. They get 29% each of the new revenue model once we get to 26, meaning the playoff revenue, and then they have their own league media relationship. Let's just say it's 80, no. Let's say it's 100 million. That might be a little high for now, but it's a nice round number. What percentage of that 100 million will Ohio State and Alabama have to cut for their athletes? What percentage of it, is it the entire athletic department? Is it football? Is it divvied up football, then basketball, in order of revenue produced? It has to, I would think. How will you be complying with Title IX, which is a federal law that is about 50 years old? Wasn't complied with for probably the first 20 years. When I was first getting into this business in the late 80s, 87, 88, was when the conversation about Title IX compliance was really prominent because nobody was really doing it. And that's when they started cutting scholarships in baseball, started actually cutting men's sports, period, dropping them from campus, wrestling, in some cases, maybe not up in Iowa and Ohio and Pennsylvania, but I mean down here, a lot of it got marginalized. But you've got all of that to consider, and the SEC and the B1G are doing that right now. Percentage-wise, I'd love to have some answers there, and eventually we will. But here's the mode we're in, y'all. It's not if, it's only when. It's not if they get their hands on the TV revenue. It's when they get their hands on the TV revenue. What are the percentages? And then in the future, conversations that will make me physically ill on the show will include the next contract and how much more they're going to get and if there's going to be a strike. And we've yet to have a situation, at least that we're aware of, that on game week, a player or maybe a player gathers players and they say, we're not playing Saturday. That hasn't happened yet, at least publicly. Now, there have been some threats behind the scenes, for sure, 100%. But I'm talking about Thursday, Friday, headlines, state you, players say no go for Saturday. Demands not met. I'm surprised we haven't had that happen yet, frankly. But that day is coming too. Frankly, I won't like it, but I will find it funny. Yeah, I'll find it very funny. Husker Ron, a big Red fan. Bill, the Husker spring game, try not to be too optimistic. Jeff Sims looked good in last year's game, so that's the reason why he's trying to be careful. However, Dylan Raiola, he says, was very impressive, has the same mannerisms as Mahomes. Time will tell. Yeah, and again, Ron, first of all, I appreciate the Big Red and the passion that that fan base has had. And frankly, that fan base has not been given any good news that sustained in two decades. And that's why I'm always skeptical once we turn the page in the late 90s and then the early 2000s, I've been nothing but skeptical for the most part about Nebraska football. Now, this is year two, and I'm real excited, but we got to get him on the field. I know you know that. Yeah, Husker Ron's a veteran. He's not due to any of this. And I hope your optimism there is warranted. I do. No, I do. Tommy Myrtle Beach says, Bill, you should check on getting royalties here. It's a bag, and it's called Balls of Steel. And it says five times the weight of a normal golf ball. It's almost mysterious how quickly this will improve your stroke, giving you a ton of confidence. Wouldn't that ruin your clubs? What are you hitting those balls with? A baseball bat? I'm not sure I understand that. Not that I play golf. It really doesn't matter if I understand. Charles Arbuckle, when we come out of the break. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. Give yourself a little bit of extra travel time out here just to be on the safe side. They're still wrapping up an earlier wreck, 40 eastbound over here near Fessler's. Traffic's on the increase even more now on 24 as you come up through the Antioch area in right now from Murfreesboro, Rutherford County, into Davidson County as we watch traffic build down through Sumner County on 65 through Millersville. Prince's Hot Chicken now has new items on a new menu. Check it out today, princesshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my entire family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hello, I'm Greg Figueroa.
And I'm David Figueroa. Over 30 years ago, my brother Greg and I set out on a mission to offer the world a better hot sauce.
That's right, David. We made Melinda's thicker, hotter, and better than ordinary hot sauces.
And now we have 32 exciting and delicious sauces that hot sauce fans are obsessed with, like our ghost pepper sauce, our Thai sweet chili, and our best-selling black truffle hot sauce.
Melinda's also has 5 spicy ketchups made with real sugar and no added junk like high fructose corn syrup. People ask David and I what makes Melinda so good. That's easy. We think like chefs do. Instead of burning someone with hot peppers and vinegar, we use fresh plant-based ingredients and the finest chili peppers perfectly blended to set your mouth on flavor.
Go to Melinda's.com to find our line of craft condiments at Walmart and other fine retailers. And right now, get 20% off our award-winning sauces with code SPORTS at Melinda's.com. That's M-E-L-I-N-D-A-S.com. Melinda's.com.
Tyler from Wendy's here. The best part of Wendy's new Cinnabon Pull-Apart is every part. Unlike mornings, which have no good parts, until now. Because with Wendy's new breakfast Cinnabon Pull-Apart, mornings finally don't completely suck. And now that mornings have warm cinnamon sugar rolled dough and ooey gooey frosting, are they the best part of every day? Probably not, but you get the idea. Get to Wendy's today and get the best part in every bite with the new Cinnabon Pull-Apart.
At participating U.S. Wendy's, Cinnabon is a registered trademark of Cinnabon Franchise or SPV LLC.
It's the McFarland Show with Darren McFarland and Fox 17's Justin McFarland.
We were here when Eddie George left. We were here when Chris Johnson left. They had to move on too. And Derrick Henry is doing the same. These guys cannot stay forever. That's just the deal.
It's just what it is.
It's just what it is.
Henry made it to 30, and most people are ready to put 30-year-old running backs out to pasture.
The McFarland Show with Darren and Justin on Nashville Sports Radio WNSR.
All there is to know about Johnny Five Star, and now you can too. It's Bill King.
Yes, sir, Buckle. On Tuesdays with us, always a pleasure, Buck. Did you join the rest of what seemed like the media during the draft when Michael Penix went to the Falcons in the first round, what, number 8? Did you almost enter into stroke mode, or were you calm?
I was calm because I'm a Michael Penix fan. I think if you're the Falcons, you better have a plan, and that plan was to call Kirk Cousins as the draft was taking place and as the pick was taking place. But here's my assessment on that. I really do think Kirk Cousins has been a serviceable guy the last few years, but he's been injured, especially here lately. And maybe, you know, Penix was a guy high on a lot of people's boards. I think he was pushed down just because of his injury issues early in his career. But I think to me, Jaden Daniels is really highly touted, but I thought Michael Penix was the best thrower out of all the guys this year. That was just me. That was my opinion, and I was high on him for a long time. I think the problem is when you're a left-handed quarterback, and teams are they have right-handed quarterbacks, so they have to have left tackle versus right tackle, and all, you know, how things change when you have a lefty. Those are some of the issues, but, you know, hey, the last lefty that was in Atlanta had a pretty good career, you know, notwithstanding the other issues that he had. But Michael Vick was good, and I'm not saying Penix is going to be Michael Vick. But I do think he has the ability to be really good. And the problem for me with today's NFL, not just with him, but with any of these quarterbacks, is that they're rushed to play too quickly, and they're giving up on a lot quicker than they used to be. I think Patrick Mahomes, how many years did he have to wait before he played? He learned under Alex Smith. Aaron Rodgers, as prickly and as ornery as he can be, learned under Brett Favre. You know, I think it's and then he repaid that to Jordan Love, even though he really didn't want to. Now you can see how well Jordan Love is playing. You got to have some time to understand the NFL game before you play the NFL game. And I don't think people realize that. Even guys that were great, you know, I can remember the first year after Troy Aikman was at with the Cowboys. You know, the Cowboys were a hot mess. They didn't have all the weapons that we saw when they were winning Super Bowls. And he was getting beat up. And he was like, Bob, man, I need some help. You know, he was a really damn good quarterback, even in college. Yeah. So I think you just have to look at it from the standpoint of, you know, I know people were upset. Some people were just shocked. I wasn't shocked because I think they had him really high on their board, and they saw that name there, and they went after it.
On the text line, which is 615-844-5600, Chris in Gray, Georgia, and I move Chris up because I think he's a first-timer here, says, guys, love the show. Talk about what Mario was doing down at Miami with that roster. Added four high-quality starter potential future league players this weekend alone, including Damian Martinez, the running back from Oregon State. I counted. I went and looked. 13 transfers they're bringing in. They got Cam Ward, which obviously is not new news at quarterback. And then this Martinez kid at Oregon State, Buck, plays at about 237 pounds as a running back. He's a beast.
Yeah, yeah, he is. Yeah. You know, I think Mario's getting back to what he wants to do. I think the big thing with Cam Ward, I really liked Cam when he was at Washington State. I think the key for him is making sure that he doesn't, you know, try to run too much. Because that was the one thing, he got beat up a little bit his last year there, and I think it started with that UCLA game when they really got after him. But he's a really talented quarterback, and he can throw the ball. You know, I know people see him as a runner, but I really like what he was able to do in the pass game when he was allowed to do that and could sit in that pocket and throw the ball effectively. I think the thing with Mario, you're going to have a big offensive line. You're going to have guys that can play on the offensive line, and I think Miami's trying to get back to their defensive, you know, history. You know, if you think about Miami, and I talked to all those guys, I was going to transfer there after my freshman year. I mean, I was, you know, Miami was the school in the 80s, right? Notre Dame and Miami were playing for national championships. Everybody else was trying to catch up with them, and there were other schools too. But the one thing that they had, I mean, you could just name it, defensive linemen. They could come off and make plays, and they didn't have to blitz a lot because they had guys that could play on that defensive front, whether it was Russell Maryland, Warren Sapp. You know, I can just keep naming it, Cortez Kennedy. I mean, it was just like anytime you looked at a Miami defense, it was going to be dudes on that defensive front. And so I think as good as they're going to be offensively and what people are saying, until I see Miami play like Miami of old with a defense that can get after you every single snap, I think we're going to be looking, and that's the thing, I think, from a transfer perspective, when you can bring guys in that have played other places and fit your DNA and your culture. Mario wants to run the ball physically. He knows what it's like because he practiced against those guys that were defensive guys. They've got to get back to that, and they've got to make sure that that's what they do on that defensive front.
Buck, I've known you for a while. I don't think I've ever heard you say that after your freshman year you thought about transferring to Miami.
Yeah, I did. I mean, I was recruited by them. I looked at some other schools, but I was homesick. And so I was going to go from one coast to the other. You know, I knew quite a few of those guys just in the recruiting circle, and I really thought about it hard. I went back home and worked out, and there were a couple of weeks where I was really pondering, you know, leaving UCLA. Not because I wasn't enjoying my time, and I mean, I was in position to be a starter at UCLA. It was just something about it. I didn't go on a recruiting trip to Miami because it was my fifth one. And, you know, it was something about Miami that was pulling at me. But when I decided to stay, it was the best thing for me. You know, staying at UCLA, I was a three-year starter, couple times All-American, and, you know, still got drafted. So it worked out for me, but it was just one of those things where, you know, when you're a young guy and you – like all these guys. That's why I don't envy or I don't get upset when I hear these guys saying I'm homesick or I'm thinking about transferring somewhere else. You can understand it even at my age. You understand what they're going through. Now it's a little bit more about the money than it is strictly about going to school and playing somewhere else. And if you're a quarterback, it's about trying to get time on the field.
Jimmy Johnson would have still been there. Erickson had not taken over, correct?
That's correct. Yeah, Jimmy was the one that recruited me. Jimmy, was from Port Arthur, Texas. And I'm going to tell you, Jimmy had a hell of a recruiter in Hubbard Alexander. Axe was the guy that, if you talk to any of those Miami guys, I met Coach Alexander as a sophomore in high school because I went to a Rice-Miami game. And I think it was sophomore, maybe junior year, but I can't remember which one. But I remember going and seeing those guys because they all went out afterwards. And Michael Irvin comes out the bathroom with Playmaker. He had a big old medallion, Playmaker. And it was, all those guys. It was all the guys that went on to have success. And it was pretty cool to hang out with them. But Coach Alexander, even, after I decided not to go to Miami, was still, I'd keep in touch with him. And he was a real, real good man. And I know those Hurricane guys all know. Axe is what they call him, but Coach was a good dude and probably one of their best recruiters ever, because that's why you saw a lot of those cats from down in that area, but all over the country, because he could recruit his butt off.
Charles Arbuckle with us. Buck, there's a story, not really profound, but regarding the SEC and the Big Ten and their collaboration, and we talked about it, not new news, but one of the pressing conversations they're having is a revenue model for the future, and it would involve the schools directly paying players, but the question mark would be the TV revenue, which I know that the players are going to get their hands on that money.
We don't know
percentages, Buck, but I think we're about to hit critical mass there.
I think you're right, and I think this House versus NCAA case is really the one that's very pivotal. I've been reading about that the last few days, about both current and former guys that, are part of that case. I don't know all the particulars, but I do know, to your point, it's really going to start to open up because, the NCAA cannot beat these cases. Every time they've gone to court, they've literally been bludgeoned in court. And if they've gotten to the highest court, it's still they know it's coming. And I think you're right. We have talked about the TV revenue being something that should have been shared for years, some way, shape, or form. Even in the past, they used to talk about maybe, we provide guys with opportunities because they wanted to keep this amateurism thing going. But maybe it was a trust. So after they finish school or whenever they decided after they finished their 4 years, if they had to graduate, I can remember it was a bunch of different ways they looked at it. But now I think they're going to be forced to, because the NCAA can't fight that anymore. They just can't. And the Big Ten and the SEC have been the front runners on this, making sure that they're staying in front of it, because it's now going to affect all of their bottom lines. And they're going to, I think Trev Alberts, guy that I played with in Indy, who's now athletic director at Nebraska, I think, was saying that they have to now put a line item of about $15 to $20 million on each athletic budget because of this, and they haven't named what it is, but they know it's coming. So when the ADs are talking about it, and the presidents and the NCAA is just saying, "Hey, look, we can't fight it." That's why you got Commissioner Sankey and the other commissioner from the Big Ten coming together. Tony Petitti trying to say, "Okay, how can we get out in front of this so this does not put us in a bind?" And we can stay in front of this because they're the ones that have, they're the two conferences that are kind of running college football as we speak.
Wayne in Seabus, Ohio. Ask Buck, Bill, if he remembers the day he was drafted by the Saints and how special it was to him and his family.
Man, it was good. I remember that day. I thought I was going higher. I kept being told I was a second or third round guy. I had a real good combine. I did everything I could. But I dropped to the fifth round, which is, I think, the second day, because there was 12 rounds. And, man, I was pissed at first. I was like, So I went out, worked out, and, did some things and just tried to get away from it all, and then went back talking, and we were having a little gathering at my aunt's house, and I can just remember getting that call, and that felt real good. It was Jim Finks, and you know, I talked to Coach Mora, and yeah, then I was happy, you know. And then you just then the next thing was, hey, I got to make the team. How do I do that? You know, so I love hearing the stories about guys feeling like they were pissed and not happy with where they went. But there were a lot of undrafted free agents my year and years subsequent that made teams and guys that were drafted later. And I was just happy to finally say I've been, you know, one of those childhood dreams came true. I didn't end up staying with the Saints past that 1 year, but I really enjoyed my 1 year with the Saints. And then, you know, ended up playing my final four with the Colts. But it's just funny because I was talking to Vince Buck, who was in that draft class just before the draft. We usually talk, three, four times a year, sometimes more, but we always seem to talk right before the draft because when we got drafted together, his name was Buck, Arbuckle. You know, everybody called me Buck. And then we became fast friends and, you know, lifelong friends. And you remember, we were just telling stories about, you know, our whole draft class. We had some crazy kids. Good dudes and guys that could play in that Saints draft class in 90. So, yeah, I think about it often, and every time the draft comes up, I just start thinking about those times back then.
I heard Jason Kelce tell his story. He said, I didn't want to watch the draft, so me and the family went bowling. And he said, we bowled for probably 3 or 4 hours. We get back, I'm still not drafted.
Yeah, I mean, it can be disappointing if you sit there and watch it, but ultimately, man, the opportunity to put on one of those jerseys, get your name called, pretty doggone special.
No doubt about it. I think it seems like the guy with the chip on his shoulder might be Dallas Turner. Now, he went the first round, but he dropped further than I think he felt like.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, I think it's okay, you know, to have that attitude. You got, I mean, to me, there are a lot of people that have gotten drafted really high that haven't turned out because they let the money and everything else impact them. But if you go in with a chip on your shoulder, that's probably the best way to be in that league because you're going to get it from all angles. Guys are going to try to challenge you to think if you're as good as they say you are. And then there's other guys that are going to think, you know, I'm going to try him every single play. So you got to be ready for it.
The cruelest story I've ever heard, Buck, and I wish, I can't remember the name of Bubba Miller, who actually ended up, he was in Philadelphia for about 6 years, then ended up down at the Saints, offensive lineman, good friend of mine, said a Miami receiver, and not one of the guys that went in the first round, but a Miami receiver who thought he was going to be picked high, was watching the draft, and somewhere around 10, 11, 12, video comes up of the next pick, and it's him making a play for Miami. He thinks it's him getting drafted, and it's some other guy in the screen. That's cruel.
Yeah, that's hard, man.
Oh.
I've heard a lot of those stories. But all I'll say is when you get to camp, that's your chance.
That's true.
You got to make the most of it, and you know, it doesn't matter where you start, it's where you finish, I always say.
That first day you're on the field for your pro team, the field doesn't ask you what number you got drafted, right?
No. And Jim Moore's practices, they don't give a crap. They come and ask you. I'll tell you those stories later, boy. That dome patrol defense, woo, Lord.
Buck, see you next week, man.
Thanks.
Charles Arbuckle.
Good morning. Wrapping up the paperwork on a wreck we had south of Nashville, down in Franklin on 65 southbound in McEwen. Hopefully they'll get that out of there as traffic increases even more now on 65 coming northbound up through Williamson County. It's loading up pretty good now. Be careful. We've seen a couple of near misses already on 24 westbound up through Antioch. All that traffic coming in from Murfreesboro, Rutherford County. Prince's Hot Chicken has new items on a new menu. You can order online today. It's easy. PrincesHotChicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
With 13 locations nationally, including Smyrna, Star Leasing Company is a semi-trailer one-stop shop and the perfect place to build a career as a semi-trailer mechanic. Seeking candidates with all levels of experience, Star Leasing Company has a semi-trailer technician trainee program with sign-on and quarterly bonuses and other opportunities such as $1,000 for having a yearly physical. The package also includes 401k with company match, health, dental, and vision insurance, competitive pay with weekly paychecks, and paid holidays and time off. Star Leasing Company, not your typical semi-trailer leasing company. Visit starleasing.com to learn more.
Some days I cover up because of my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. Now I'm hitting the road with clearer skin thanks to Skyrizi, Risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150 milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy. With Skyrizi, 3 out of 4 people achieved 90% clearer skin at 4 months. And Skyrizi is just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing on my skin, and that means everything. Your doctor today about Skyrizi, the number one dermatologist prescribed biologic in psoriasis, and visit skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
Pick a number between 0 and 9. That's right. Now pick another one. Right again. Now pick one more. Wow, you're on a roll. Now, if you only would have played them. Play your lucky numbers today with 3 daily drawings and top prizes of $500 to $5,000. And add Wild Ball for more winning combos. Cash 3 and Cash 4, only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing, moolah-making fun. Please play responsibly.
It's JB and the General.
You know, I'll do my Stugatz weekend observations. Stugatz, yep. From the Dan Le Batard Show. Patton, beep. One thing is sure. Beep. Actually, beep. 2 things are sure. Beep. Tennessee is going to the Final Four. Beep. And the Nashville Predators, beep, are winning the Stanley Cup.
Oh.
Beep. Those are my 2 observations. How about that?
Weekdays 9 to 11, live on WNSR.
He knows more about the oblong spheroid than any man in America. It's Bill King.
Griff, top of hour 2. Mike Griffin with AJC's Dog Nation, and right after that, Gator Dave checking in. Heading down to the Emerald Coast Thursday, right after the show. Working on equipment, or not really working on equipment, but just piecing things together yesterday, just making sure we're all set to go. And it just involves a little bit more than I'm used to. Playing around with it yesterday, I actually found out that there's a part I still need, so I got to head into town some point for Thursday to get that part. But all good, man. Yeah, all good. Heading down there. Yeah, Bubba Miller, who played, I believe, 7 years in the NFL from here and played at Brentwood Academy, played at Tennessee, tells the story, and again, I don't remember which Miami receiver, but watching the draft, it's somewhere in the first round, 10, 11, 12, something like that. He's watching with his family, and he thinks he may go pretty high. Next pick is due up. They show a clip. It's him in the clip. He and his family jump up. They're high-fiving. They're hugging. And that clip involves somebody else, and that's who they took. He didn't go until later rounds. And Bubba tells the story, and he just dies laughing. And then I remember when he was telling the story, Brad Hopkins, at one point, Brad Hopkins was the best left tackle in the NFL. He was listening to Bubba and I, and he pulled in and just died laughing. I mean, just comically laughing at that story. Brad was out of Illinois and drafted by, at the time, the Oilers, and then they moved here, but and had a spectacular career as a left tackle. And we talked about the sizes and left tackles. Tackles need to be long. They need to be – most tackles are going to be 6'5 plus, 6'6", 6'7". Alt is pushing 6'9". Now, that's very rare height there for a football player. But there have been some. Remember, at Dallas had a – I remember the very first guy that was 6'9", 6'10", that I recall. Too tall Jones was 6'8", 6'9". But I'm talking about offensive linemen. Dallas had a offensive lineman probably 40 years. This might have been the 70s or the 80s, but Phil Pozderi, who was around 6'9", 6'10". But anyways, Brad was maybe 6'4". Played at around 330-ish and was super athletic. I mean, uber athletic. And had some link, too. Had link with that height or lack thereof. And right when he retired after a celebrated career, he dropped down, and every time I've seen him, it's been a year or two, but he weighs about 250. He carries it very well. He is a lean 250. That's another thing, never talk about it. Have you ever noticed what pro football players look like after they retire? Meaning their body transformation? Now, it doesn't happen in some of them, but have you noticed the most striking would be a former, it's usually offensive lineman, who played in the 300s, and a couple of years later you see them maybe on TV or maybe it's in person, and you do not even know that's them. They played at 330, and they now weigh 210 or something like that. Have you ever noticed that? I don't know that you see that in any other sport. And I think it's mainly offensive linemen. Maybe some defensive linemen, but it's mainly offensive linemen. And you look at their body, and you're thinking, how were you that guy? How are you 140 pounds? And it obviously at that position, it's going to be just some of it's dead weight, but it's necessary weight. That's one thing that I've always found striking is you'll see an offensive lineman. It's not in the first year usually, but 3, 4 years, 5 years down the road. And some of them stay, you know, 6'6", 280, and maybe lose just 30 pounds or something. But some of them lose 100-plus pounds. And it's some of them, you wouldn't even know it's the same player. Same player. 98 Wisconsin, that would be Josh up in Picktown, Ohio, versus 85 Oklahoma. Would that be Ron Dane? Or was Ron already gone? Barry Alvarez for sure. But would that be Ron Dane at the time? I'll have to check on that. 85 Boomer Sooner. Clay says, Bill, one reason is their heart can't survive all the additional years if they don't lose that weight. Yeah, I would think carrying around 340, 350 pounds. Let's say you played, you had an incredible career, you played 12 years, which is a phenomenal. What's the average, 2.5 years? Whatever it is. You had an incredible career, and you're an offensive lineman, you played at 330. You retire when you're 34. You don't need to go another 10 years weighing 350, right? Back to Jason Kelce. I saw he played at 290, which is tiny. Close to 6'3", 6'2 and a half. He said his plan is to lose 10 pounds every few months. He wants to get down around 250, 240, which is very doable with his body. Yeah, very doable. Was Ron Dayne on that 98 Barry Alvarez, Wisconsin? I think he was. Let me look.
Good morning. Still running a little bit slow there in Franklin as they clean up that earlier wreck. 65 southbound right at McEwen. Again, we're hoping that's going to improve because it's been slow. Traffic's really crowded now on 24 westbound at Bell Road, coming past Haywood Lane. All that heavy traffic flow making its way in from Murfreesboro, Rutherford County into Davidson County. Starting to slow also on Vietnam Vets westbound there at Conference Drive. Behind it, you got that traffic being pushed in from Hendersonville. Hey, 24/7 reliable crane and rigging services right here in Middle Tennessee. Tomahawk Crane and Rigging. Check them out at tomahawkcrane.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
When was the last time you did something fun with family, friends, co-workers, and clients? What if I told you about a place under one roof that offers affordable entertainment for all ages? That's what you'll find at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers in Donelson, Hermitage, Tusculum, Hendersonville, and Murfreesboro, with bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment for all ages. Enjoy an enhanced experience in Hendersonville or Murfreesboro, where they feature additional fun with bumper cars, laser tag, roller skating, and more. All locations are open 7 days a week, including holidays. Visit online at strikeandspare.com. Strike and Spare, where fun is bowling.
Progressive presents Good News, Bad News, Dumb News, then Great News. Good news. A letter in your mailbox says you could save money bundling your home and auto insurance with Progressive. Bad news. You saw it after your teenager backed the car into the mailbox. Dumb news. A new mailbox, basically a box on a stick, costs up to $400. Great news. You decide to see if you could save money bundling at Progressive.com and go with paperless mail instead. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers not available in all states.
The smarter way to clean your floors. It's time to make the swap. Swiffer Power Mop.
Introducing the new Swiffer Power Mop, the all-in-one tool that gives you a mop and bucket clean in half the time. The solution's built right in, so no heavy bucket. And the pad has hundreds of scrubbing strips to get deep into grout. Don't mop harder, mop smarter.
Swiffer Power Mop.
Do you ever feel like gambling is causing financial strain or hurting your relationships? The Gambling Clinic has been helping people who want to change their gambling habits for over 2 decades. With physical clinics and remote online appointments, we're here to help you make informed decisions about your gambling so it doesn't lead to a bigger problem. Visit us at thegamblingclinic.com so we can work together to help you win your life back. This project is funded by the Tennessee Department of Mental Health and Substance Abuse Services.
The 2024 Atlanta Braves are on a mission to bring home a 7th straight NL East title and head back to the Fall Classic.
Harris to the warning track. Harris will leap, and he got it! He caught the ball! You have got to be kidding me! Swung on, belt, deep right field, gone!
Listen to the NL East defending champs, the Atlanta Braves, only on WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
He gives you a wide latitude on topics because Bill King isn't afraid of your telephonic interaction.
Just as Bill Council Bluffs today, 85 Oklahoma, Wisconsin, 1998. Ron Dayne won the Heisman in 99. Yeah, he was on that team. And remember, it was a split, Buckeyes and Wisconsin that year. Wisconsin, because of the rule back then about the Rose Bowl appearances, They got chosen because they'd been the they had not gone most recently, if that makes sense. Ohio State had. No way that Wisconsin team, as much as I like Barry Alvarez and Ron Dayne and that team and their style of play and their culture, I love it. There's no way they beat that Oklahoma team. That Oklahoma team, Jim Donnan has talked to us about that year on this show in the past various times. That's the year, that 85 season, that Troy Aikman got injured and was lost for the season, ended up transferring to UCLA. And Jamel Holloway took over, who I think is probably the best wishbone quarterback I ever saw. From now to then. And Jim Donnan talks about it. He was the offensive coordinator. He was the one sitting there. And they went from a pro-style Troy Aikman offense to a wicked Jamel Holloway wishbone during the season, intra-season. And it clicked, and it was ridiculous. They lost to Miami in that game where Troy got hurt. That's their only loss. And they won the national championship across the board that year. Bosworth was on that team. Tony Casillas was on that team. Jamel Holloway. I'm just crazy dudes everywhere. There's no way, as much as I appreciate Wisconsin under Barry Alvarez, former defensive coordinator prior to Notre Dame, as much as I appreciate that, they're not beating that Barry Switzer, Jamel Holloway, Tony Casillas, Brian Bosworth team. Ain't happening. In the South, ain't happening. Still appreciate them. On Twitter, on the Emerald Coast is the name here, says that bum Ron Dayne bumbled his way to an undeserving Heisman over Joe Hamilton of the rambling wreck of Georgia Tech and a hell of an engineer. Noah Kev, Bill, Joe Thomas played at 312. He weighs 250 now. Seems like running backs and quarterbacks do the opposite. They all seem to gain 40, 50, 60 pounds. Yeah, I mean, some aren't able to regulate their weight. And that leads to all kinds of problems down the road, right? Health problems. That's another thing. Is it not, and when I say amazing, I mean in a sad way, where you have a former athlete who was just, when you watch them, they were at the very peak of their skill in that sport. On a pro level, and then in their 40s, horrible health issues, and it takes their life. Does some of that have to do, you think, with just the wear and tear and the stress on the body and no telling what else you did? What else you took? I mean, probably. Probably does. Now, that's a good one by Josh, who, if you haven't met Josh, he's going to be down there in a couple days at the spring commitments. Going to have a good time. If you haven't met Josh. Josh was originally going to get married down there, and then because of family and travel and everything, they're going to do it up in Ohio. But Josh will be down there. If you haven't met him. Josh from Picktown, formerly of London, Ohio. It took me a little while to get used to the Pickerington, the Picktown angle on it, but I've got it now. It's kind of like Yipsy Terry from Defiance, Ohio. It's hard to get by that, right? Hard to get by that. Griff, as we turn the page to hour number two, Mike Griffith, AJC's Dog Nation. Anything you have for the dogs, you can post it on the text line, 615-844-5600. Any questions for Griff? Any comments? All of the above, 615-844-5600. On Twitter, at Bill is King. And if you're old school, not that you have to be old school, you don't. But if you want to email the show, Bill is King, 7@gmail.com. Brainy Radio. Boy, 615, rainy, gloomy day here. Set out the tomato plants. I got a, I need to go look at the name of this tomato plant. But I was given a tomato last year. It was so good. And it's something like a purple cherry, or I need to look. I'm going to ask you folks if you've ever either planted one of these or had one of these. It's kind of a darker color, too. It's not something you would see at your grocery store like Publix or Winn-Dixie or Kroger or something like that. Not that I know of. Yeah, not that I know of. I'm going to check the name of it during the break, and then we'll get to Mike Griffith. He was on that dog cruise that they have been doing the last several years last week, so we missed him, but he is back this week, and we are up and ready to go. Hour number two coming up, Omni Nashville Hotel.